Well, let's take our seats and turn to the word of the Lord in the book of James, chapter 4, at the end of the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 4. We want to read some verses and then bring a gospel message tonight based upon a few words in the center of our reading. James chapter 4 and verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. May the Lord bless that reading to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt give us help in the understanding of the word. We pray with the psalmist, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, give us help tonight in the preaching of thy word. Empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Give me help to do rightly divide the word of truth, and may it be a blessing to those who listen, whether here in the building or online. May it give us a deeper appreciation for what Christ has done for us. May it give us a deeper longing and zeal to see others won for the Savior. Oh Lord, minister to our hearts tonight. For us in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. There are many things that we could preach on from the passage we read. For many weeks, we could take each statement and preach it, and it would be a blessing to our hearts. But tonight, the Lord has led me to four words in the center of verse number 14. What is your life? What is your life? If we were to go into the streets of Calgary tonight and ask people, what is life? What is it for? What is the purpose of it? We would get many, many different answers. But the Word of God not only asks the question, it answers the question as well. And there are many times through Scripture that questions are given to cause us to think that we might be taught the truths and the principles of the Word of God. I want us to answer this question tonight from the Bible, and I want us to think of five different things that our life is, and your life is, and I want us to come to God's Word and find those things. First of all, what is your life? Well, in the light of God's Word, your life is a gift. The life, the physical life that you have tonight is a gift. Whenever Job experienced great loss in his life, and whenever he knew his family one by one being taken away, he was able to say these words, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was acknowledging in his loss and in his sorrow that God is the giver of life. We read in the book of Genesis, when God created man, he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. God is the giver of life. We read in Psalm 139, and we're going to be coming there in a few moments' time, more specifically, about how God forms the little baby in the womb, unseen by human eyes, but very clear to the eyes of God, as each part of our being is knit together in his sovereign purpose. God has given you the gift of physical life that you have. Do you realize that tonight every heartbeat is a gift from God? Do you realize that every breath is a gift from God? Now, that life comes with many, many blessings. We think of the senses that God has given to us and the pleasure that there is in physical life. God has given us our sight. And what an honor and a privilege and a blessing it is for us to be able to see God's creation, to be able to see the beauty of what God has made around us. But what a privilege it is to see our loved ones, to be able to look at them and view them. What a privilege to be able to hear them and to hear the beauty of the music and to hear the beauty of singing and all of those things that we appreciate, the voice of a loved one. Even from across the world on the telephone, we're able to hear those things that bring blessing to our lives. We think about taste and something so seemingly insignificant, but you know, the Lord has given us even the blessing of taste. We could have been made to exist simply by taking in food without any taste and just mundanely taking that in to help us to, but the Lord has given us taste. Smell, those smells that bring great blessing to us. We think of the smell of very simple things, just like baking, the smell of those things at home. But we think of the smells that cause our minds to go back there. I remember a lady in our church, and she had a very specific, strong perfume. And whenever we were in the time of prayer, and all of a sudden I smelt this perfume, I knew that the lady walked into the room and she joined the prayer meeting. And that rejoiced my heart because she was a wonderful person who prayed unto the Lord very sincerely. We think of touch, being able to hold hands with one another, to embrace one another. Do you realize that these are gifts from the Lord? God has blessed every single one of us in this room today with the ability to get up, to clothe ourselves, to feed to yourselves, to travel to the house of God. I wonder, have you ever acknowledged God as your creator? But I wonder, have you ever acknowledged that not only has he given you physical life, but that he offers you spiritual, eternal, everlasting life? Now, because of Adam's fall from perfection in the Garden of Eden, sin passed upon all men, and all are born in sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, we're born with physical life. Of course we are. But we do not have spiritual life. The Bible says that spiritually we are dead in trespasses and in sins. The very best known verse of Scripture in the Bible highlights the fact that in our natural state, living in our sinful condition in which we're born, the result of that will be that individual perishing in a lost eternity. But that verse also teaches how man can be saved from the punishment that is due to sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son. Why? That we might have life. Christ came to this world over 2,000 years ago as a little baby that we might have eternal life, spiritual life. And the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I want to say to you today, the reason you're here is because God has given you physical life. But remember this, only He can give you spiritual life. Only God can give spiritual life to sinners like you and me. And that comes when we repent of our sin and call upon the Lord for that eternal life. So what is your life? First of all, it's a gift. Secondly, your life is precious. Now, anything that God gives us is precious. He's given us His Word, therefore it's precious. He's given us His Son, and He's precious. God has given us life, and life is precious. Now, the world today doesn't treat life as precious. We think of the way that the world often, and the system of the world, often treats life. In fact, they treat it recklessly. I think of the way that the world and even our governments encourage and promote sinful activities. One in particular in our own country is alcohol. Alcohol is promoted. It makes money, and yet it destroys lives. I know of homes where alcohol abuse has caused marriages to fall apart, children to be estranged from their families. It's caused people to say and do reckless things that has completely ruined their lives. Our health system is overwhelmed by those who experience alcohol abuse, and yet the government still promotes it. Why? Because it makes money. And yet it destroys lives. We think of those, and I don't know what it's like in this country, but at home, quite a number of bars and pubs around our land. And people come in and they buy their alcohol. And the barman continues to give and to give and to give and to give, and even way beyond whenever the person is drunk and unable to really process things properly, and they continue to give, and then they throw them out onto the street, all concerned about how they get home, what's going to happen to them. Could be people as young as teenagers, people as old as seniors. But they've got their money. They push them out to the street. They close the door. Life isn't treated as precious. We think of the way people drive in our society, how they break the law, how they act erratically, how they go over the limit, how they're distracted by other things. And ultimately, that boils down to the fact that they do not regard either their life or the lives of others as precious. I was traveling to a church not that long ago on a road that's quite long. It's difficult to overtake, and if you're stuck behind a slow-moving vehicle, you're there for quite a while. And I saw someone overtake me, and they had to be going at least 70, maybe 80 miles per hour. They were coming up to a bend, and should someone have come round that bend, both of those people would have been killed in an accident, and that person didn't care. They just flew on, hoping that everything would be okay. Why? People don't treat life as precious. I mentioned last Lord's Day, and I say it again, there's that move in society, in our country certainly. The results say you're pregnant. Do you wish to continue with your pregnancy? And there's people today whose purpose in life is to promote abortion, calling it a right and calling it a choice. Turn with me to Psalm 139, because in Psalm 139, we see what the Lord says about life. In verse number 13, it says, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." And we see here that the act of abortion is a direct defiance of God's authority and God's sovereignty. There are many people today who don't believe that life is precious. And sadly, because of their circumstances or difficulties and the pressure of life, they come to the point where they feel life isn't worth living. The devil will say there's no hope, there's no help, there's no possibility of change. The Bible's false. There's no hope in the gospel. God's not real. You'd be better ending the suffering. And certainly in our land, there's a rise in the cases of people who have lived believing there is no God, no hope, no point, and therefore they take their lives. But God declares that life is precious. And in the Word of God, we read in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, our life is precious, but God wants to give us that precious eternal life. He has come to give us true life, spiritual life, that life that will last forever. We find in this passage that Satan and his demons steal and kill and destroy. That's the end of the work of the devil. But the end of the work of Christ is to give us life, that we would have it more abundantly, meaning to the full. Now, that is not just speaking about heaven, although it is speaking about heaven as well, but it's not just about heaven. Life eternal, life spiritual, life everlasting is a present gift of Christ. And when we accept Christ as Savior, when we call upon Him to be our Lord and Savior, we have His Holy Spirit living within us. We have life. Life is our precious present possession. And the wonderful news of the gospel is this, that the Lord says that from every kindred and tongue and people and nation, there'll be those here in heaven. God views all life as precious. All people groups as precious. And salvation is offered to the whosoever will. Thirdly, what is your life? Your life is a record. There's a record that you and I are compiling. Each minute produces another addition to the record of your life. We're here in Psalm 139. Let's read the first four verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. This passage declares that the Lord knows our thoughts, our words, and our actions. He knows every single thing about us. And there is that record. Listen to these words from Psalm 33. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And there are many people today, and nobody knows what they're doing, but God knows. There are people today who have committed murder, who have broken the law of the land in various ways, and they haven't been found out. But the Lord knows. And that record is before the Lord. And on the judgment day, we will be required to give an account, each one to give an account of the lives they've lived. Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Revelation 20 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And I want to say to you today, whether in this building or online, when we stand before God in the judgment, it will be too late to change our eternal destiny. If you die in your sin, you'll go into hell for all eternity. If you die in Christ, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. God sees all that we do, the good, the bad, our thoughts, our attitudes. Hebrews says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then listen to these words in Ecclesiastes. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's a very solemn thought. Now, for God's people, there's nothing to fear, because that judgment, we have judgment unto reward. And God will reward us for those things that were done sincerely, that were done for Christ, that were done with a pure heart and with a pure motive. But dear friend, if you're not saved and you die in your sin and you stand before the Lord, every single thing will be brought before him. And even your good deeds are sinful in the sight of a holy God because they're done by a sinner. That record of sin you will face when you go into eternity. What is your life? Your life is a gift. It is precious. It is a record. Fourthly, it is an opportunity. God has given you this life as an opportunity. Now, when we think about that, we think of the lines of a poem that was written many years ago, sometimes sung as a hymn. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Those words were penned by a man called C.T. Studd. He grew up in Victorian England. He grew up in a very privileged background. He became a top-ranking, world-famous cricketer. He played in England. He played around the world as far as Australia. And he was written about in the papers. People followed his life in the papers. He was a very famous man. He was very wealthy through inheritance. He went to Oxford and he studied there and got a very good education. He was set for a life of success and fame in the eyes of the world. In fact, some of the people that he studied with, some actually of his distant family members, were members of the Parliament in London in later years. Yet something happened in this young man's life that caused him to give it all up. Through the preaching of D.L. Moody, he came to realize that he was a sinner and that life was an opportunity for him, first of all, to be saved and then to serve God. Many people thought he was crazy. The newspapers even wrote about it. People tried to persuade him and tell him he was giving up too much and he was sacrificing too much. But he wrote these words, only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And he gave up his wealth. 90% of his wealth was given away. He gave up his sport. He gave up his fame to go and be a missionary and tell the world about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He learned the lesson. Life is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be saved. And friend, you do have an opportunity today to be saved. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But dear Christian, you have an opportunity to serve. We often quote the verse, and we often quote it in gospel context, and rightly so. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now that is true. And I say to you who are not saved, don't come to say to me, preacher, I agree that I need to be saved, and tomorrow I'll trust Christ, or next Sunday I'll trust Christ, or when the new minister comes, I'll trust Christ. Because the Bible tells us not to boast of tomorrow. But can I say this verse also applies to the Christian? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Oh, I'll serve the Lord when I'm older. I'll pray for my family later on. I'll ask God what he wants me to do in a few years' time. I'll start coming to the prayer meeting in a few months' time. We dare not boast ourselves of tomorrow. Let's do what we can do for the Lord today, while we have the opportunity, while God grants us this day, because soon our life will be over. What is your life? Your life is precious. It is a gift. It is a record. It is an opportunity. Finally, tonight, it's short. Your life is short. No matter how long your life is, it's short in comparison to eternity. Mrs. Flynn, whom we buried yesterday, was 95 years old. 95. And yet that life has passed. That tale has been told. It's short in terms of eternity. There's a young man in our church died this year, age 99. And I remember him saying, life is so short. Life is so short. Maybe when we're young, we think life goes on forever and I can't wait to be older and I can't wait for this and I can't wait for that. But it seems to be, we get to a certain age and then you think, wow, life's busy, life's fast, life's very quick. Do you know the Bible describes it in various ways? We come back to James and the chapter number 4 where we started at. Life is described here as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. You know, if you boil a kettle and the vapor or the steam rises just for a few seconds and then it disappears. That's what your life is like. In the Psalms, it says that the life is as a tale that is told, just simply a story told, a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's described as a flower that flourisheth and then fadeth away. It's described as a breath. Now, what's significant about these descriptions of life in the Bible? Well, once they have occurred, they never occur again. Now, yes, the flower will blossom in the field and show forth its glory, then it'll fade away. Other flowers will bloom, but that flower will never bloom again. That flower has been and gone. I can take a breath, and that breath has been and gone. I will take other breaths, but I'll never take that breath again. Made up of the same particles, it's been and gone. Can I say to you, your life will only be lived once. Your life is short. God has appointed the day of your birth and the day of your death. Now, other lives will be lived after you, and maybe your children, maybe your family, maybe people you don't know, but your life will only be lived once. You've only one opportunity. You don't get to relive this over again. Some people will waste that life in sin. Others will waste their life in things that aren't really important. Some people will waste their life by worrying about what other people think of them. And that's all they live for. What do other people think about me? Some people will waste their life in arguments, bitterness, and strife. Some people will waste their life in laziness by doing nothing at all. But whatever way you live your life, you don't have the opportunity to live it over again. Life is short. God has given you today. You will not get to relive this Sunday ever again. It's gone into eternity. Therefore, Christian, live life the way God instructed you to live it. That's how to live life to the full. That's how to be blessed. That's how to know the joy of the Lord as you are walking in the center of His will. Rejoice in His goodness, as the Bible says. Do all for His glory. Walk worthy of your calling. And I'll tell you, you'll never regret one second lived for the Lord. But there may be many hours we regret that we wasted. Christian, give all to Him today. Do all you can while it is yet day. For the night will come when no man can work. I say to you, unsaved person, and with this we close, life is short. God has given you today to prepare to meet your God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Can you tell me how many years you've left on this earth? Can you tell me how many months, weeks, days, minutes you've left that God has allotted to your life? Can you tell me with absolute certainty, Pastor, I'll see you tomorrow. I will certainly, definitely, 100% see you tomorrow. No, you can't. None of us can. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Therefore, there's a pressing urgency and a serious need for you to make sure your sins are forgiven and that you're saved. Now, you can't do anything with your sin other than confess it to the Lord. You can't do anything other than call upon the Lord to deal with that sin, to forgive that sin, and to cleanse you in the precious blood that He shed on Calvary. And you need to be sure tonight that you are ready to come to the end of your short life, whether it be in 50 years' time or it be in 5 days' time. You need to be sure that you are right with God by trusting in the work of Christ and the blood He shed in Calvary. That's all that matters. I've sat by bedsides of people who've been dying. And you know, the talk on their lips has not been the amount of money they've made, the position or power they held. It's not been what possessions they've had. For those who've been saved, it is, I'm going home to see the Lord. That's their hope. That's their confidence. Because when we get to the end of life's journey, all that matters is this: you're saved by the grace of God. So don't waste one more minute in the world. Don't waste one more minute in the bondage of sin. Don't waste one more minute living for the devil. But repent of your sin. Call on the Lord to save you and know the joy of sins forgiven. What is your life? Your life's an opportunity to get saved and to prepare to meet God. I'm glad because as a 7-year-old boy, I called upon Christ as my Savior. That today I have the assurance that I'm ready to meet Him. And should this night I close my eyes in death, I'll open them in heaven at home with the Lord. What about you? Well, has there been a moment in your life when you turned from your sin, when you called on Christ to save you? Friend, if not, then I urge you, come tonight. Come where you're sitting. Call upon the Lord in your heart tonight. Then let us know, and we'll love to give you some literature to help you walk as a Christian. Oh, don't leave here without Christ. If I can be of any help to you, please do let me know. I can't save you, but I can point you to my Savior, the one who truly can. May God grant that all will know Christ as Savior. We sing our closing hymn tonight, and it talks about the assurance of sins forgiven, complete in Thee. No work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in Thee. If you're saved tonight, sing that with all of your heart. I am now complete in Thee. And if you're not saved, may the Lord give you grace to call, and that you will leave this meeting complete in Christ. Let's stand and sing together, and then we'll remain standing for prayer.